Welcome to the Omfit podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Omfit podcast. This week we're looking at the issue of adoption of ISO 20022, the new standard for electronic data interchange between financial institutions. We'll be asking why adoption of the standard is important and we'll examine implications for the wider financial industry. I'm Jamie Baldwin, Omfit Relationship Director of the Economic and Monetary Policy Institute, and I'm very pleased to be joined by Rishi Tinaikar, Business Innovation Lead, Asia Pacific at SWIFT. Rishi manages the various SWIFT initiatives in Asia Pacific, which are helping the SWIFT community transform their payments and trade landscape. In his role, he works closely with the financial institutions and payments market infrastructures on the transformation initiatives in both the high value and retail payment sectors. Prior to that, he was at IBM, where he consulted with major banking institutions on payment strategy and has been involved with various startups in India and the US. I wonder whether we might just kick off, Rishi, by you talking us through what the new standard ISO 20022 means, why it's so far-reaching, and why it's been necessary to introduce this new standard.
Yeah, thank you, Jamie. So from our perspective, when you talk about ISO, it is the standard that has more structure, more granularity in the data, and that in itself makes it, from its richness perspective, very, very applicable and pertinent into the financial industry, right? And as you might be aware, SWIFT already has, along with the community, we have made the decision for cross-border payments to move to ISO 20022. And there are some compelling factors to do that. If you just look at the cross-border payments, which is payments that originate from one jurisdiction and are credited to an account in a different one, these are very, very complex payments than your regular domestic transactions. They cross time zones in more often than not. They're subject to local currency controls. There's documentary requirements and compliance checks. They might encounter legacy domestic banking infrastructure, for example, like batch processing, etc. And all these factors essentially add to the friction that we always speak about in the payments, which leads to significant delays, costly repairs, and uncertainty about the whole final receipt of payments, right? So back in 2020, SWIFT set out its new strategy to enable instant and frictionless transactions anywhere in the world, supported by smart data and mutualized services. Now, this strategy builds on the success of the existing SWIFT global payment innovation, which is SWIFT GPI, where we created that to address frictions that slow down transactions, which in turn adversely affect customer experience, add costs to the payment processing, and just the whole customer experience gets improved with GPI. Now, as the payments landscape changes to an instant 24/7 model, and that's how the customer expectations also change, because in domestic, you have about 50 plus jurisdictions where there are potentially some sort of instant payments, and the customer experience then starts to evolve in the cross-border space as well. Now, that's where there is a need to further address friction in this payment chain. Now, the adoption of ISO 20022 and what we call the CBPR Plus, which is the Cross-Border Payments and Reporting Plus Usage Guidelines, they exactly support this strategy by providing a global and open standard for information exchange, right? So that's one aspect of why ISO 20022 is very important. The second aspect is also the decision is influenced by the fact that many domestic markets today, right, have adopted ISO 20022 for high value and instant payments. So which is you're including Eurozone, US, UK, closer to us in India, RBI, the Reserve Bank of India was on ISO 20022 since 2013-15, right? And we know that a lot of the others are in the process of this migration. Some estimates also say that about 80% of high value payments volume and about 90% of the value globally will move to ISO 20022 in the next 4 to 5 years. So those are two compelling reasons where ISO 20022 becomes very, very important. And although a number of these, as I said, the domestic payment systems are migrating or are going to migrate. We also expect majority of financial institutions to gradually adopt ISO 20022 as their primary syntax from November 2022 to 2025 as well. Our latest community estimates pegs that to around 50% of cross-border payments will switch to ISO starting November 2022, right? And that in the whole essence is why ISO 20022 today is very important from a cross-border payments perspective and why the community made that decision. Now, going into SWIFT's perspective on it and to enable this ISO 20022 migration, if you will. SWIFT at our end, we are building the capabilities to facilitate the industry's decision to migrate to this newer ISO 20022 standard. And what we are doing specifically is building those services to be able to translate between the new ISO and the current MT standard. And that way, early adopters of the standard can immediately realize its benefits, and we'll talk about those as we go along, while those that need to take more time towards this transition can go at their own pace. But we are not just stopping at the ISO 20022, because at the end of the day, that is just the data, and that is towards a certain outcome. So we also introduce the concept of transaction management, which supports the ISO adoption even further. So today we are point-to-point messaging. We want to take it into a transaction management concept. Mm-hmm. And ISO 20022 actually, with its rich structured data dictionary, acts as the perfect foundation for this enhanced platform, which will enable increased automation, more effective compliance, faster reconciliation, and a better payments experience for all the customers involved. Yeah.
You mentioned there, Rishi, the cross-border, which is covered in the new standard. I know this includes the high-value payment systems, Target 2 and CHAPS, for instance, DPCC in the States, and all major traded currencies, big business. Can you just talk about the major traded currencies, the US dollar, for instance, sterling, euro, are all included in this new standard?
Like I said in my earlier comments, about 80% we expect of the global high value payments volume will adopt ISO 20022. So for example, we have CNAPS, the India RTGS, the Bangladesh RTGS that have already gone live way back, right, from 2013 onwards. What we have in our pipeline and what we heard from the community is SIPS. We have BOJNet that is moving and which is already participating in that ISO 20022. We have 14 infrastructures that are already planned, which is your MEPS Plus. So Singapore, we have Euro 1, we have Target 2, we have REITs, Rentas, Chats, that are all under the planning, right? We have chips in USD, Fedwire, we have the Canadian LVTS and CHAPS in GBP, right? So, and many more under discussion. And that's why from the, not only the estimates, but our conversations, we peg that number to about 80% of the global high value payments that will, in terms of the volumes, at least that will move by 2025.
Could you also just talk us through the process of adoption at SWIFT itself, Rishi? I know initially the intention was to roll it out at SWIFT this November, but it was put back a year owing to the pandemic. But there's been a big readiness program, hasn't there, which dates back a year or two. And I know the process is due to last for another 3 years or so to ensure all the SWIFT users can receive the new financial messaging by next year, I think it is, and the old messaging will be decommissioned in 3 years' time. So can you just give us a sense of the process at SWIFT of adoption?
Absolutely. From SWIFT's perspective, as I've already said, the ISO 20022 project is the foundation of the broader strategy moving towards instant frictionless because of just using of the rich data towards a lot of value-added services in removing the friction, existing friction in the cross-border payment space, and then building on our existing GPI towards moving to as instant as possible. So supporting this adoption of ISO 20022 by our community is part of our mission. SWIFT will facilitate this industry migration of cross-border payments and cash reporting as of end 2022, as you rightly said, November 2022. The migration will end by November 2025. So it's a gradual migration, by which time all financial institutions must be able to send and receive the ISO 20022 CBPR plus compliant messages for cross-border payments. So the idea is that the MT categories 1, 2, and 9 will be decommissioned as of November 2025 for cross-border payments only, right? And why that coexistence period is because we understand the enormity of the project, as well as from a bank's perspective, the different timelines in which they will want to move. So that's why the three-year window in making this transition happen. But as from November 2022, we will make it possible for any bank to send CBPR plus messages to their network of correspondents. So all banks will be automatically provisioned onto what we call the FIN plus service, which will enable the exchange of ISO 20022 formatted messages between participants in a many-to-many environment. But that's not the end goal. We will not stop there. We will also put in place some measures to foster interoperability, as I said, because making sure that everyone can adopt ISO at their own pace and not leave anyone behind. We will also introduce the concept of transaction management, which will support the ISO adoption even further. ISO with its rich structured data dictionary is the foundation of our enhanced platform to increase the automation and further improve the compliance. As part of the transaction management, there is a concept of a transaction copy with that will be maintained with full ISO 20022 data in the center, so that complete transaction data can be shared end to end without depending on each participating institution to relate. The platform will also provide a set of common transaction processing services, such as pre-validation of essential data, very, very important from friction reduction, sanction screening, anomaly detection, data analytics, and just building on our Swift GPI on the transaction tracking and exception case management as well. So essentially mutualizing a lot of these capabilities that are today typically provided and invested in by each financial institution. Individual. We want to bring it into the center. And by bringing together data and common services, that will in effect significantly improve your end-to-end efficiency and reduce costs. More importantly, it helps the financial institutions to bring new business value to their customers, right? With faster, more reliable transactions with better and rich data. Now, I spoke about the measures that we are doing to ensure this interoperability because, A, we have a coexistence period and not every financial institution will do it right off the bat. They will want to have their own timelines to do and move to ISO 20022. So we have this one service, which we are calling it the inflow translation, which allows banks to send ISO 20022 messages to any counterparties without having to worry about whether that counterparty is ISO, is not ISO, and not even worry about that. So it is that functionality, inflow translation, which will be done centrally at Swift on specific services, specific message types to ease that migration for ISO 20022 customers who are not yet ready on ISO. So when that gets activated, let's say on an incoming ISO payment, which is subject to translation, Swift will do the translation. Not only that, it will embed an MT equivalent of that ISO message as a comment at the end of the payload, right? So it's not just that you are getting an MT, you're getting the ISO as well as your MT. So that's for institutions that have some of their back office systems that are capable of ISO, but some that are not yet capable of MT. So you have that option of having to, you know, receiving both of those. So the receiver of that original ISO will also be able to use that MT that is embedded for any of their back office services, right? So that's the crux of how we not only want to enable the community towards ISO, but also thinking of the value-added services in using some of the benefits of the ISO to provide that benefit to the institutions for them to provide it to their customers. You spoke about the readiness program as well, and all of this in terms of making sure that the community is walking the right path. They are aware of all the changes that need to happen. They are aware of the implementation effort that needs to happen and the timelines to make all of this happen. We have bundled it into what we call the readiness package. And we are out there speaking day in, day out in terms of one-on-one meetings or in terms of community webinars, not only in English, but also in local languages, certain jurisdictions, to ensure that not only the large institutions, but the entire 11,000 plus financial institutions that are part of the SWIFT network get to benefit ISO standards and can plan their migration better.
It's clear there's a lot of innovation possibilities over this new standard, which you've some of which you've outlined there. I just wanted to broaden this out to look at the financial industry more broadly and some of the implications for widespread adoption. You mentioned the banks, Rishi. What are some of the benefits it might bring to economies, some of the implications for banks and the financial sector? There'll be a lot of banks listening to this, and perhaps some of the implications for the broader macro picture and macro conditions.
The very basic, I think, we have to all appreciate that when we talk about ISO 20022 and the migration, be it any financial institution or market infrastructure or anybody, I think the first thing is that it is not an IT project, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the first message I would like to pass. And as a matter of fact, ISO 20022 has immense business benefits. So the first point of evaluation for ISO 20022 should be from the business point of view and not from the IT point of view. And speaking of those business benefits, there are plenty, right? So if you look at from the area of financial crime, AML and sanctions, for example, right? Yes. ISO 20022 actually allows institutions to have greater granularity or payment information. It is a lot more structured. There are a lot more pieces of information that can be put on, which in effect means that you have clean, better, rich data to do your analytics, to do your AML, to check on your financial crime, as well as a better understanding thus of where a payment is coming from and where is it going to, right? Mm-hmm. So just the main elements of your sanctions or compliance, all of these get greatly benefited out of the ISO 20022. The second aspect from the benefits perspective I would like to highlight is just efficiency and automated operations. So in the operations area, take, for example, very simple things like reconciliation, right? Now, when you talk about the granularity of information, it essentially, because of the structured nature, you can do a lot of straight-through processing, which leads to faster payment processing. There is, because of the structured information, it lends itself very well to automated reconciliations. And by implementing these standardized messages, financial institutions can actually realize a consistency in their operations, processes, and procedures as well, more leading to that faster outcomes and reduction in cost, etc. And that leads to more scope of automation. So ISO 20022 does leads very well into the operations area as well. Another area that ISO 20022 by its very nature is in terms of the richer data, right? We all hear this term for many, many years now, data is the new oil. However, in order to recognize that value that the data has, firstly, it needs to be consistent, structured, standardized. And this is exactly what ISO 20022 data is supposed to do. Those standardized messages are supposed to do. So having those that enriched data available at beck and call of the financial organizations, just imagine the service that financial institutions can tailor for its customers, because now that they have that data, they have it in a structured form, they can tailor some products around it, they can take all of this to improve the customer service. As I said earlier, in terms of providing that service in terms of, let's say, pre-validation of data or a route calculation of your payments that are going. So the options are plenty, right, of utilizing this data and using it in the context of customer experience. Then the last piece I would like to say is that as the industry is also evolving and adopting on, let's say, the API technology or open banking initiatives, right? Actually, adoption of ISO acts as a great innovation accelerator because it can help your interoperability and reduce time to market because finally, ISO is what is at the heart of it is data. It's agnostic to the technology. It's agnostic to all the initiatives that are going on, and it lends itself well to multiple of these initiatives and thus creating interoperability. Now, from our Swift perspective, when we look at these benefits, we are creating that platform to use ISO 20022 at the base of it, left, right, center as the foundation to allow for that frictionless payments account to account anywhere in the world. Because of the standardization and rich data, we think that it's a key building block to the strategy to provide instant and frictionless payments for cross-border payments and make them as seamless as domestic payments. But richer data and ISO from our perspective is just one building block. We are building other building blocks as well, which, as I said, pre-validation or mutualized services to bring all of this together, sitting on top of our Swift GPI, building on the success, such that we not only offer these capabilities in one particular segment or one particular customer segment, but to other segments as well. So corporate to bank, or more importantly, in the low-value payments, right? From a retail payment perspective, where speed of a payment, the frictionless, seamless experiences of even more importance than, let's say, a high-value payment setup, right? So that's what I would summarize, that ISO 20022, don't think of it as just an IT project. I think the implications for the financial industry is immense in terms of benefiting automation, cost reduction, efficiencies, which will help the macro picture globally, right?
Yes. Excellent. Yeah, that's very clear. Thank you, Rishi. Just curious about the migration onto the new standard. Is it Swift's job to encourage its members onto it, or is that just a natural course of events? Will it just naturally evolve that everybody adopts this new standard, or do you have to encourage members and others onto it?
So as I said, from our perspective, ISO 20022 is left, right, center in terms of our building of the foundation towards our instant and frictionless strategy. And as part of that, the migration and helping our financial institutions, 11,000 plus institutions towards that move from starting from 2022 to 2025 is part of our mission, right? So, and that's why the whole readiness program of making sure that each and every financial institution is aware of what is ISO 20022, what does the migration entail, the benefits out of that, and what they can do to make that migration happen becomes very, very critical. But not only that, right? From our perspective, we don't want to stop at just saying that, okay, here is what you need to do, and everyone just moves to ISO 20022. We also appreciate that the timelines under which they will move, the financial institutions will move, will be different. And that's why we have that 3-year window. And that's why we have also, from our perspective, Swift's perspective, build those tools and capabilities to ensure that that migration happens seamlessly. So, for example, a financial institution that is right off the bat and has taken the lead to move gets the full benefit, as well as the institutions that want to take a longer time to move do not suffer and are not forced into it of moving quicker than they anticipated. So that's how Swift looks at the migration to ISO vis-a-vis our financial community.
Thanks, Rishi, for offering a lot of detail there. Could you tell us why the quality of data is important? You've outlined how data will be improved with this new standard. Could you just give us an overall sense of why it's so important to have a quality, improved quality of data?
Sure. In recent years, we've seen that cross-border payments have become faster, safer, and more compliant as well. And with this whole the data-rich aspect of ISO 20022 that will improve the customer experience, compliance and efficiency will, as a natural outcome, will also improve. And why that is important? Why is quality of data so important? Let's take an example of sanction or AML as a case example. Mm-hmm. So when you talk about unstructured data, it's a barrier to building those effective screening, monitoring tools that essentially will mitigate your sanctions and AML risk. Today, using unstructured data regularly results in those exception handling, significant delays in the payments lifecycle. Now, these delays are caused by the process of that transaction due diligence, mapping of data from one format to other legacy formats, etc. On the other hand, a point could be made that the additional data that can be presented in ISO 20022 messages could lead to an increased number of transaction screening here. But our view is that contrasting this, the structure, the granularity of an ISO 20022 messages allows a more targeted approach to screening financial transactions, potentially reducing the overall number of false positives and reducing associated sanctions friction. And that's why quality of data and structure are paramount to achieving an effective, efficient implementation of transaction screening and monitoring tools. Not only that, financial institutions have this opportunity to leverage the adoption of ISO 20022 to ensure that their systems, applications provide and map this structured data for all parties that are involved in the transaction, because in turn, that will help facilitate better quality, faster, more transparent and compliant payment processing flows, which will lead to improved client experience. Because at the end of the day, that's what all of us want to achieve, is giving that customer experience to the end consumers.
Thank you very much for joining us, Rishi, on this podcast. It's been a very interesting discussion, looking at some of the processes at Swift for migration onto the new standard, as well as some of the implications on the wider financial sector. Thank you all for listening to the podcast. You can subscribe to this podcast and other OnPath podcasts on our channel via Spotify and iTunes. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to the OnPath podcast.